This is episode number 19. You need a squad of people who support you as you build your big life.
Welcome to the Innovateology podcast, where it is all about unleashing the creative side to find those brilliant, disruptive ideas to validate and build innovative solutions to solve life's problems.
Hello and welcome back to Innovateology. This is your host, Mary Michael, and today we're focusing on your inner energy. So as you've probably heard in the last couple of episodes, we're just trying to figure out what do you really want in life and where are you going to get that energy? So many people haven't asked themselves, what do I really want in regards to their lives? This is our theme of where energy comes in. Energy comes from within when we love and enjoy life. So we've looked at three authors that share unique perspectives on how to find this inner energy. So recently I shared The Big Leaf by Guy Hendrickson, Linda shared Simplicity by Richard Rohr, and Melissa will share The Big Life by Anne Sokit. And so what we're looking for is just that central energy theme. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Melissa, and she's going to kind of just give a quick summary of what that big life looks like in Cliff Note version.
Thanks, Mary. This book is called The Big Life, and this is a book review that was written this year in 2017. The author is the past editor of 17 magazine, and her name is Anne Sokit. Right now, she's in her 40s, but she's very much on the millennial women who are in their 20s and 30s. From all the market research she's done, all the jobs she's had, and she continues to follow them with her website, and also is very keen on knowing what they are striving for. So she states that in the book that the millennium women are changing what it means to be powerful and successful. She looks at women who were older, say now in their 50s and 60s, they were just trying to get to the table in companies and in businesses, versus women today are at the table, but they want to do it their way. They want it on their own terms. It appears they do not want to climb the corporate ladder per se in the corner office, but a career that has twists and turns and adventure and moves up. And that success, the success they have, is very meaningful to them. And they want to make a mark on the world. So what she does is she, the author, brings women together at a kitchen table and talks to women who are young, hungry, and ambitious. And they go through a short list of provocative questions or conversation starters about what they want to get out of life. So the book interviews some of very successful millennial women who've done it their own way. And majority of those successful women in the book that she interviews start companies from blogs and social media. So what I did is I pulled four concepts that I liked about this book, as I thought they could be thought-provoking to ourselves and to our listeners. The first concept is that good things come to those who hustle. So just reading her book, I suggest that you get it, gives you this hustle and a mental kick in the butt to boost your productivity and inner motivation and see where you want to go in life. So Mary, Linda, and I are just going to go through an exercise saying, how do you get your hustle? What gives you your personal kick in the butt in your life? What gets you moving and gives you energy?
So Linda, why don't you take it away?
Well, for me, I kind of always kept this couple mottos in my head, because I used to keep these things in my head that would give me some like kick in the butt. And one was, are you getting closer to your goal? If you're not getting closer, you're getting further away. So that would really get me energized to say, you know, keep you from possibly that lethargy that can settle sometimes, to say, keep going, keep pushing, but make sure you're focused. So that would always be one. And then the other that was a key thing I keep in mind was, don't hope it happens, make it happen. Because, you know, I always felt like it was empowering to say, you know, don't wait for somebody else, just do it yourself. So those are two things that really helped me to kind of get my hustle. How about you, Mary?
So to help get my hustle, I have a motto that I use. I say, always keep irons in the fire. So you never, ever, ever want to be in life without an iron in the fire. And that's your opportunity. And so as I go about life, and I can totally relate to this book because I'm actually in that kind of age range, is that I've always felt like in life, you always have to have some type of opportunity, that next step. What are you reaching for? What's that next goal? And that's kind of what gives me my, that personal kick in life, is knowing that I have opportunities that are in that fire.
Yeah. It's Melissa again. Yeah. For me, it is also, reading books like motivational books, which I read a lot, and listen to motivation, because that does get me up and moving. Also, your inner energy comes from, you know, obviously something that you love and something that you want to do. So that's another source that it comes from. Other things, like I do tricks on myself too, is, you know, if something I haven't started that I should have started or moved on, I'll just start it for 10 minutes and then, or set up all the stuff that I have to set up if I have a lot of projects going on. And just starting something makes me move and get, for some reason, gives me energy, versus if I don't, you know, set it out and start it, I might put it off a little bit more. So the second concept that is thought-provoking, and I really love this because I think, you know, I've said this to before to people that I've known, is that she says you have to have a side hustle. What's a side hustle? It's kind of like something that you're working on yourselves or with other people on the side, and it probably isn't your real job. But it's something that you are in total control of, and that is an experiment of sorts of something you are very, very passionate about. She says that your side hustle will make you smarter, hotter, and more control in your destiny. And I know I used to say this to people, you know, who worked in corporate, you know, you really should be looking at if you're even in your 40s, like, what else do you want to do? If you want to do something else in life, even though you have your corporate job, you should be looking, because life is just, you know, so different today than it was years ago. So I think it's a great idea to have a side hustle, and it gives you energy. So I'm going to ask Linda, do you have a side hustle, and what is your side hustle, and how does it give you energy?
Well, thanks, Melissa. Yeah, I learned something, an insight about having a side hustle that I'd like to share, which is to be sure you have a clear vision of where you want to go, where you want to be with the side hustle or hustles that you take on. Because when I left corporate, my plan was that I wanted to kind of execute on these side hustle ideas that I always had fermenting. And I did have an idea of where I wanted to be. What I found was that I also got involved in a lot of side projects that I took on that were taking me further away from where I wanted to be. So I had to kind of like take a step back, look at what I was actually doing, spending my time on, and say, oh, you know, I have to cut out some of these, even though they're great projects, to say, focus on the ones that get me where I want to be. So I did start consulting business, which I really enjoyed. It was kind of something that a couple of my friends had started their own consulting businesses in the past, and it really allowed them a lot of flexibility, freedom, while still having some cash flow. Then a little side project that actually I had worked on with you, Melissa, that didn't happen, but we worked towards mm-hmm. it with the plein air course that we were working to put together.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because I really got energized with the idea of, you know, when you can solve a bunch of problems. And we had come across a woman who had this huge farm and a farm store with a lot of organic products. She was trying to drive more customers. She had this spectacular Bucks County farm, and we thought, what a great site for a plein air painting course. So we were kind of working through, like, how can we have a few wins with in creating something to serve everybody's needs. And so it was, I enjoyed just the process of working on that. And then lastly, really working with you and Mary on this podcasting and Innovateology effort has been a lot of fun. And I think a key point that you made, Melissa, was about making sure it's something that, you know, is energizing, that you're learning from. And I think that that's what this offers me. How about you, Mary?
So my side hustle.
Ooh, what's going on?
Sounds like we have like a UFO on this podcast. Is our podcast being taken over by aliens?
Yeah. Hey, sorry.
No worries. I know aliens sometimes take over our podcast. So a side hustle for me would be Innovateology. So what am I looking to do here? I'm looking to basically kind of find how to help others, through podcasting. I know we don't have a lot of time in the day, so how can I serve others? How can I truly make an impact in others' people's lives? And I say, even if 11 people are listening to this, even if just one person is listening to this, did I make an impact in their life? And, you know, I know a lot of people would get upset saying, oh, I only have two people listening to my podcast. But I actually embrace the idea of saying, no, I'm impacting others, even if it's just one person, even if it's just Linda and Melissa, I'm making an impact in their lives. So when you look at a side hustle, it's how can you develop a skill on the side? And I think with Innovateology, we have lots of room to grow it, develop courses, develop other avenues to basically make an impact and connect with others. And another side hustle project that I have going on is I'm probably one of the rare Americans that speaks another language, but creating a French group for kids. And so what I do is I have a group of other parents that meet once a month, and we do an activity in French, whether it's painting pottery, going to a local farm and saying the words of the animal and then what the sound is. And believe it or not, pigs, cows, and cats and dogs all speak French as well too. They do have a French accent. So we do work on those sounds and those different words. And it's quite rewarding to meet other parents that are doing that same type of influence at home and kind of making an impact with their own children and teaching another language. It's an amazing process. And I sometimes wish I had learned to speak a second language when I was that young, and that friendships that they'll develop throughout their life, knowing that they spoke another language. So those are just two examples of side hustles that I have in my life. I'm sure that there will be more to come, and hopefully grow into more of a leader as I work through a lot of these side hustle projects.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, this is a side hustle, this Innovateology, and I love what we're doing. And I think, you know, a lot of come out of it, and it is there to motivate people and help people from what we've learned. But also I have some side hustles on art, because I love art and painting, and I am putting some courses together. I have taught art in the past, so I'm looking to put something up. Also, you know, I love that idea, the plein air that Linda talked about, you know, putting together a group of people through Meetup or whatever, and help another business move by plein air, because plein air, which is painting outside, is huge right now. I mean, it's just exploding with the number of people who are retiring or just want to get out there and paint. But I think it does give you a lot of energy, and I think everybody should have a side hustle. That's my opinion. Okay,
Melissa, before you move on, I think we have to talk after this, because your comments and Mary's gave me an idea for another side hustle.
Plein air and French.
Well, plein air and travel, you know.
Yeah. And plein air in French. I could try.
Right.
It came from France, right?
There you go.
And it actually says plein air. So anything that's outside, so they have pools, so it'll be, and that's how they talk about anything that's outdoors without a cover is plein air.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So the next concept is work-life balance is a sham. And we did have a podcast on life work balance before, which is not easy to do. And she says, you just embrace the mess. You know, it's okay for life to be messy and hard, and it doesn't have to be perfect. So, how do you embrace the mess, and how does it feel good to just go with the flow in life messes? Because you kind of, even it's like embracing things that are hard or embracing things that are not perfect. If you embrace them and you accept them, I think it's easier. You move forward and it's not much of a mess, because you can say to yourself, I'm in control of this. Even though, you know, it's a mess, I can handle it. So what do you think, Linda?
Well, I think it helps to have a frame of reference around messes, because I think we alluded to a couple, even when you mentioned art, you know, my experience, because I like to paint also, is that a lot of times you can get frustrated. It can seem a mess. You can feel like doesn't feel like you're getting where you want to go. Same thing with marketing that we all have in common too, that there's times when there's a mess. You're working, let's say, with scientists, with studies and all sorts of things that can feel like, you know, where this is getting messy. But I think for me, the magic is in discerning the difference between a good mess and a bad mess. Like I've experienced, to me, I can live with mess when I feel like, you know, there's this sense of there's just something in my gut that keeps like pressing on, like there's something here, we're getting somewhere, even if it's baby steps, two steps forward, a step back. But when it hits my gut that this isn't getting anywhere, that the interest is kind of wanes. And I've had that experience with a couple startup venture companies where, the companies were great, but let's say some of the management involved had divergent views. And, you know, that's just a mess that's hard to resolve. So I'd say just kind of getting a sense of being able to learn to discern when it's a mess worth staying in and following through with.
Good.
How about you, Mary?
All right. So a mess. I think every day we all embrace chaos, and you have to determine what your priorities are and what your boundaries are and how much you're willing to accept. And I think sometimes we all forget to just take a breath of fresh air and just kind of pull ourselves out. And when I think about work-life balance, I don't think that there is a balance. I think either you're working really hard or you have a chance to take a deep breath and then you end up going working hard again. So I almost think of it like a swim routine where you're lucky if you can just hold a natural rhythm. But most of the time in life, I feel like I'm either sprinting or I have 2 seconds to take a breath at the wall. I think when you look at a mess and you embrace a mess, you think it's not necessarily a mess. It's got tons of opportunities out there. You just have to go find them. So it's like a needle in a haystack. You got to go find what you want to embrace and create those boundaries to, you know, find, to make sure that you have that time and don't be that victim of time. Oh, I just don't have time to do this. You can change however you want, and you can embrace mess and define that. Define what is mess. So that's just kind of an ideas that I have around kind of that, what they define as work-life balance.
Yeah. And I think it even is in, you know, when like Linda and I worked in product management, you were always you're trying to be proactive and have your plans together so that you could move the business forward. But always there were things thrown at you, a competitor, a bad study, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the product, they couldn't get enough product, you know, so that was just constant and product marketing. And so you have to embrace both, you know, and even though it's like, oh my gosh, here comes another, and you're trying to get your proactive stuff done, you know, you have to embrace it and say, this is part of the job. This is, you know, moving forward. And this is so, but it's hard when there's a lot of messes all at once. So the fourth concept in the book that I liked was, she's a huge believer that women can do bigger and better things if they help each other out. So she suggests in the book that you need to get a squad of people who support you as you build your big life. And I know we even talked about this in the networking podcast with Glenna, how important this is. And so the exercise is, you can ask yourself is, do you have a squad of people who support you? And are they like you? Are they hungry and ambitious to realize their dream and your dreams? How about you, Linda?
I mean, I would say this, that I think that when I was younger, I actually thought that I had to do everything on my own. So I didn't so much have a squad, because I kind of had a lot of times this thought of, I've got to tackle every problem. I was fortunate because through serendipity, possibly, I had like professors and business people I worked with who actually, you know, saw something in me, or, you know, gave me some kind of push. They kind of believed in me, even when I didn't believe in myself necessarily, or didn't see where I could be going. So I had people who helped me informally through early years. And then I'd say now I have people who are supportive, and I guess we would say they're virtual squads, because, you know, not necessarily people that know each other, but people who are, you know, offer support or insights occasionally. But I definitely think I could have benefited by her idea of, you know, formalizing that idea of a squad when I was a younger business person. How about you, Mary?
So you definitely do need a pit crew, as Glenna mentioned, in life. And I think this is ever so important, especially in this job economy and this job market, where pretty much you're lucky to have a job for 2 years. You're lucky to make it through one business cycle, and how important it is to basically have that network where you can call at a moment's notice, and somebody's usually got a project ready to go, and you can jump on their project. That's why I think it's important to have that squad. Also, another reason, as a parent, you need a squad of people to support you. I know Hillary Clinton said that it takes a village to raise a child. And I know that that's from an African proverb as well too, but Hillary Clinton kind of took it and repeated it a couple times. But it's a true statement, is that you truly need a village, not only for a child, but for yourself. We all need support. We all need, there's times in life where you just need to get out and talk to somebody. And I think there's the online relationships that you have via email, Facebook, social media, but it's also important to just have voice or seeing somebody for lunch, just getting out there and keeping your squad alive, because in this day and age, we all need to fall on each other. And it becomes even more important to have, I call what you call the lifeline and many lifelines, not just one, but many that you can call on. And it's not just your parents. It's people that you've met in the industry. It's people that you've helped, that you haven't self-promoted yourself to, but you've helped along the way in many different ways. Maybe if you solve a problem or offer industry insights or say, hey, how can I help you today? Or just being there and calling people. And I think all too often we stay in our silos and don't just walk over to somebody and say, hey, how can I help you? Instead, you really got to think about what problems they're trying to solve as well too, and get in their shoes. So that's a little bit about how I've kind of kept my squad alive. Everywhere I move, it's just always making sure that I'm in contact with those people and looking for those, that next best opportunity, and together we can all grow.
And if I could, this is Linda again, but I just wanted to add one more point to this, because I think it gets to, you know, the whole network thing and connectivity, that the squads kind of can work both ways. In other words, I knew somebody, one of those great folks who entered my life, who was a business guy, very successful person, but he had a group he called the good guys that were his network. And the way he worked it is that if anybody in the network needed anything, information expert, something, he would refer to another person who would be a good guy. And then, you know, I had countless people. I had no idea who they were, who would call me and just identify, I'm a good guy, and I would help them out. And similarly, I knew that I could call if I needed something, I could call and say I'm a good guy and get help as well. So I think if we looked at, you know, a lot of us look at our networks as, okay, I might not be able to help you, but if I come across somebody in the spirit of, you know, women helping women, and anybody really, that it's like, if you can have somebody, perhaps you don't have the answer or the resources or the expertise, but being able to kind of use your network to connect people, I think that's a great way to, you know, also be a squad member for other people.
Yeah, it's Melissa. Yeah, I, like Linda, I wish that, you know, this concept was there in my 20s and 30s, because I think I would have put a squad together more proactively and actually had, like she's saying, actually have, you know, meetings of women who are young, ambitious, and, you know, want to make big changes, meet together. And, you know, although I did have people, you know, close friends and colleagues who definitely supported me, and some bosses who definitely supported me, you know, and were encouraging to me. And, you know, so I think a squad of people is great in different areas. I know, you know, I was thinking about art again. I do have a squad of people there who we talk, who were in some of the classes, academic realistic painting classes that I took. And, you know, we still call on the phone. We don't meet as a group, but we call each other individually, because we can talk the same language about, you know, this painting and that painting and what we're doing and what's so frustrating out there and, you know, painting. And so I do love that, and actually have joined some meetup groups of plein air painters and met some nice people out there as a squad. And I also think, you know, Mary and Linda, you're my squad too. In my squad.
Thanks. So you're on my squad too.
Thanks. So yeah, that's good. This book is pretty good, actually. There's more concepts than the four that I brought out here, but the four that I thought were good is, you know, good things come to those who hustle. So how can you hustle more and boost your productivity and inner motivation? I think I agree with her. Everybody should have a side hustle, and this side hustle should give you tons of energy. And that number three, you need to embrace the mess. And then number four, you need a squad of good people. and you should be thinking about your squad and meeting with your squads. So that's the book, The Big Life.
Excellent. I think that was an excellent summary of a wonderful book to read for our listeners. And, you know, just to recap some of the summary, you know, it's good things happen when you throw those irons in the fire and you hustle. And looking at boosting not only your productivity, but your inner motivation. So it's that whole theme around energy and that side hustle. What are you doing in life besides just working that job to really work on boosting that inner energy? I think all too often we go into the office and we kind of go through the daily actions of life, but we don't always have that side life, as I call it, the life where I call it my zone of genius life, and really learning to embrace that chaos and build your network and support it. So I just want to take the time to thank our listeners for listening to our podcast today, and leave us a review. Tell us, was this book helpful? Was this podcast helpful? Are you getting some ideas? Are you starting to disrupt that thinking? Leave us a review. We always love hearing from our listeners, even if it's just one. And until next time, don't forget to keep innovating. So thanks, Lisa and Linda, and we'll see you next time. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for listening to the Innovateology Podcast. We hope we have generated some disruptive ideas and helped unleash that creative side. Please help us keep innovating and leave us a comment or a review on our website. Till next time, don't stop innovating.